Genesis chapter 24 tonight. Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. Appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate the Lord's goodness. And, you know, a lot of people have never figured out, but God's people are a happy people. One of Brother Brian's favorite verses, if not his favorite verse, was a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Amen. And I think in a clean way and in a respectful way, God's people should have more joy than this world's ever seen. Amen. And the joy of the Lord, the Bible said in Nehemiah, you remember they were struggling. I've thought about the church today, Brother Steve, that you mentioned this morning and the struggle that's going on. I don't know anything about it, but just by what you told me, I've been in the ministry long enough to know that they need prayer. And tonight we get to meet together as God's people, and honestly, we're looking forward to next Sunday night, but there may be a whole lot greater event than next Sunday night take place before next Sunday night. I mean, our Lord is coming. Amen. Let's read tonight. I'll just let you remain seated tonight. But where the Lord spoke to my heart tonight was about the second time in the Word of God that the word mercy is used. We looked at the first mention of the word mercy. And for sake of alliteration, I didn't plan on it this way. But this morning when we looked at the word mercy, you could look at it as a warning. We were talking about Lot and talking about Sodom. And Brother Larry, you weren't here. You were preaching this morning, but the first time the word mercy is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 19. And the word mercy and merciful are within three verses. And it has to do with getting Lot out of Sodom and his family. Tonight, the word mercy, the second time it's used in the Word of God, doesn't have to do with a warning, but it has to do with a wedding. Amen. And I think it's wonderful that, you know, we have the privilege here in our church to have young people that have fallen in love and they're either have gotten married or going to get married, some of them shortly, and we're looking forward to that. But I wonder how much tonight our bridegroom is looking forward to the wedding. It's just around the corner, amen? And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 19, for the wife hath made herself ready. And because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that's been imputed to our account. So let's read a little bit tonight. I want to just try to go through the chapter tonight. Some of you are not praying, so after I say this, you'll be praying. I've got seven things I want to share with you tonight from the Word of God. Amen. I'm serious. I didn't make that up. But we won't be too long, maybe. Amen. I want to share with you what the Lord put on my heart. I will say this tonight. Pastors and preachers know what I'm talking about. Teachers. It's marvelous when the Word of God just outlines itself. I mean, and that's what I have in front of me tonight. God I just read through it, and it almost just outlined itself. The story has to do with Abraham. In verse 1, he was old and he was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Is there anybody here tonight you can say the Lord's blessed me in all things? You got a good wife, you got a good home. You got something to eat, you got something to wear. More than all that, you have Christ in your heart and in your life. It's a blessing. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, we believe that according to Genesis 15 to be Eliezer, the eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You have here Abraham sending out his servant to get a bride for Isaac. I believe that really the servant is typical of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, Jesus said, if I go not away, then the Holy Ghost or the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go away, I'll send you another Comforter, one just like me. And I believe he's been gathering a bride. Amen. We're of the persuasion, the biblical persuasion, that the Spirit of God must deal with an individual's heart. And when the Spirit of God deals with that individual's heart, in other words, what I'm trying to say tonight in a nutshell is salvation is more than just a decision. People say, you know, make a decision for Christ. But I'm telling you tonight, there has to be a working and a wooing of the Spirit of God in a person's life, and in order for that person to be born of the Spirit and to be born again. You come on down now, if you will. We have the story. We're going to be backing up into some of this, how that the Eliezer, how that the servant goes out and how that he goes to the well. But I want to read this word, worship, tonight. The Bible said in verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And I think I said worship just now. I meant to say mercy. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And the servant said this, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the second time in the Word of God that the word mercy is used is in verse 27 of chapter 24. Let me pray just a moment. Please pray with me, and then I'll share with you what the Lord has put on my heart tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to stand in this place, the privilege, our Lord, to stand with these people. I pray, dear God, tonight that I'd be able to stand in your power. Lord, that the Spirit of God would encourage us tonight. Lord, I don't know about my people, but I need my heart encouraged tonight. There's so much, our Father, in the world to discourage us. There's so much on the news to discourage us. And Lord, I pray for our country. Lord, we're in trouble. Lord, we've turned our back on our only hope. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'd help us to return to the God of our fathers. Lord, I thank you tonight for your mercy. I pray, God, that in wrath, I believe, Lord, America's day is coming. I pray, God, that in wrath, you would remember mercy. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I prayed tonight, the Lord put something on my heart. It was sent to me in a text message yesterday, and I want to share it with you if I can find it right here. I believe I can find it. This was a letter in the White House, January the 25th, 1941. I'm pretty sure that Daddy was born in 38, wasn't he, honey? Wasn't my dad born in 1938? I think Mama was born in 41, wasn't she? 42? Okay. And it says, to the armed forces, as Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a fountain of strength, and it is a fountain of strength, and now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul. Very sincerely yours, signed, the President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We've come a long way, ain't we? Years ago, there was a commercial, and I Some of these jingles, you just can't get them out of your head. I wish I could. But it was a commercial for a cigarette. It was Virginia Slims. And the slogan was, "We've come a long way, baby." And as a nation, we've really come a long way. There's a movement that's called progressive, but it's not progressive, it's regressive. When you're going away from the principles of God's Word, you're not progressing. You're getting yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in trouble. But here tonight, what I want to get into in the Word of God is this mercy here that at the wedding. The first thing I want you to see tonight, I'm not going to go into all of the story, but verse by verse, it would just take too much time. But I want to give you the seven things that God spoke to my heart about tonight in the mercy of God here that's going to take place at this wedding. First of all, the servant in verse number 13, he said, "I stand here," and I underlined in my Bible, "by the well." You know where mercy starts? It starts by the well. Now listen, I'm not talking about the well here physically that the Word of God talks about here in this chapter. But Jesus told a woman over at the well in John chapter number 4, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." I just want you to know tonight in the beginning of the message, it's the mercy and the grace of God that one day I got to stand by the well and get a drink at the well, amen. And because of that, there's been a well in me springing up into everlasting life ever since, amen. And you see, I think some people get over that and they don't understand that it's the mercy of God that they're saved. We don't deserve to be saved. We deserve God's wrath. But it started at a well. He was standing there by the well. The second thing that I see, we're talking about the wedding now. And beloved, listen, if you've not been to the well of grace, you're not going to the wedding. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, there is a well. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The second thing that the Lord showed me is I got to thinking about Rebecca here. And this man, this servant that we believe is Eliezer, he kind of puts out a fleece to the Lord. He said in verse number 14, "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And so this man, he stands by the well. And the Word of God said while he's standing there, he's got a thought on his mind. He's got a thought on his heart. And he lays that thought out before the Lord. If we read on here, "It came to pass before he had done speaking," I love that, "that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." I've tried my best today to find out how much water a pitcher would hold. But we know that there's a difference in a water pot, like in the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, that would hold 8 or 9 gallons of water. I'm guessing, just looking at the images that I saw today as I tried to study about a pitcher in Bible days, I'm guessing that it's going to hold 2 gallons, no more than that. It's a pitcher, and she's got it on her shoulder. And if you remember in the text here, it says she lets it down upon her hand. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. I never had thought about this before, but if it remained on her shoulder, it would have been very hard for him to get a drink without getting very close to her face. I believe she was a very modest woman. I believe that she wanted to help the man, but she wanted to do it in an appropriate manner. Those of you that know me, I'm always talking about a sideways hug. There's sometimes, listen, you don't hug a woman like you would hug your wife. Amen? That's not appropriate. Amen? But I can put my arm around somebody and give them a sideways hug. It won't be long, and that'll be the only hug Tanita will be able to get. Amen? Because there'll be a basketball in the way, amen, of getting any other kind of hug, amen. But here, I want you to know that the second word that I want to bring out, and you'll understand in a moment, is the work. Not only is there a well, but when God saves an individual and puts him in the bride of Christ, I believe that individual wants to work. Listen to me carefully. The Bible said faith without works is dead being alone. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I want to tell you something. When God saved me on Sunday night, he let me lead a soul to Christ on Tuesday night. That soul was my first cousin. Nobody have to tell me, you need to get a burden for souls. You need to tell somebody what God's done for you. I went to work on Monday morning telling the men what God had done for me and giving out gospel tracts and trying to help people to understand there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I remember going in my pastor's office, and I remember like it was yesterday. I remember telling my pastor, I didn't come in here to tell you what I would do or what I won't do. I said, if it needs to be painted, I'll paint it. If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. If you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Larry, that was the spirit that was in me. I just wanted to do something for my Jesus because of everything he had done for me. You say, Pastor, where do you see work? Listen to me. This woman said, I'm going to give you drink and I'm going to let you camels drink too. Did you know that a camel, beloved, can hold about 20 gallons of water? Amen. And did you know there's 10 of them? Did you know that 20 times 10 is 200? Amen. That's 200 gallons that these camels, listen, they just knelt by the well. Listen, I believe them camels can smell water. Say amen. They couldn't get their snout down in there to get it. But Rebecca, she got that water up and she watered all of those camels. And she didn't just give water to the servant, but she was willing to work, beloved. It was not an easy task. Let that pitcher down. Pull it up. Let that pitcher down. Sometimes we read through the Bible and we don't get it. Say amen. We read across it, but we don't understand. Just because it happened in a few verses don't mean it happened in a few minutes. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, she was willing to work. I thought of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter number 31. Honey, listen, Isaac is fixing to get a jewel. Say amen. Oh, I tell you what's the truth, beloved. Listen, she's a woman that's not afraid to put her hand to the task at hand and do what needs to be done. I thank God for that. The first word is the well. The second word is the work. Listen, a lot of people are running from the work when we ought to be. Let me just say this to you. There's several things that's working on my heart in these days that discourage me. This pandemic is one of them. When you've got people in the hospital and you can't go see them, when you've got people, beloved, listen, that are able but won't come, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it'll get to you. But listen, one of the things that's discouraged me is that I'm not physically able to do what I used to do. I'm coming to grips with that, Brother Ralph. You said that kind of kiddingly, amen. But listen, when I see it needs to be done, I ain't got but one speed. Grab it, growl, and get it done. Amen? But I found out I'm running out of steam. Amen? There's stuff around the house that needs to be done. And I'm doing good just to keep up the have-to maintenance. Amen? But I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, listen, while you're young, work for the Lord. Do what you can while you can. Because the day's coming, beloved, listen, when you won't be able to work in his vineyard anymore. You won't have the sap you used to have. May God help us tonight. I think every time I think of a phrase like that, the work, I think about Brother Fred. I just can't help but think about it. Brother Ralph, would you carry your hip up here if you had to carry it up here? Would you just keep on singing even if Sister Shelby says, Brother Ralph, why don't you give that up? Amen. She probably done said it, ain't she? Amen. No, I'm just kidding, Brother Ralph. But his phrase, his answer to that was this. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. Oh, I'll tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, I can remember going with Brother John over there when he was in the rehab. I can remember Brother John poking fun out of me. He say, Brother Fred, you got to get out of here. You got to get on your feet, and you got to get out of here. He'd say, Ralph's got that choir so messed up, you never will get it straightened out again. Amen. That's what Brother John would say. Listen, and fun. But I'm telling you, while you can, do what you can. Brother Coulter preached 4 times today. Actually, he did Sunday school. And he calls that preaching with the brakes on. Amen. Amen. And listen, I you know what I told him in a text message? I said, don't look for me for pity. Amen. You're young. You can do it. Amen. I don't know what Brother Steve's doing putting me in an afternoon service now. I don't know. Amen. Y'all pray for him. I'm going to pound him. Y'all pray for him. Amen. I'm just kidding. I thank God for the opportunity, the work. And I want you to see this now. Listen, there's a welcome. Let's go on down here. I didn't read all of the story, but if you go on down here, the Bible said in verse 23, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Watch this now. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Listen, Rebekah welcomed this servant into her house. Amen. And you're going to find, if you read the rest of the chapter, so did her father. So did her brethren. You say, Pastor, I don't know why God spoke to you about mercy that way. I tell you, if you knew where I was sitting that night, if you knew what the enemy was saying to me that night, I had already been a church member, not at that particular church. I hadn't been too long at that church, just several months. But I'd already been a church member for 6.5 years. And the enemy was saying to me, Brother Larry, you go up there and you get saved, they'll laugh you out of this place. But you know what I found out? The enemy is a liar, just like Jesus said. There wasn't no laughing going on. There was weeping going on. People wasn't trying to put me out. Hallelujah. When you get born again, I'll tell you, if you don't receive a welcome, it'll be because it's not God's people. Because God's people will welcome you into the bride of Christ. Don't matter what you've done, where you've been, you get born again, you're going to receive a welcome. Not only here, but hallelujah, there's a book over yonder. And God welcomes sinners that'll come by the cross and be saved by the grace of God. So I see kind of just a natural progression here. You see a person that's been to the well and been saved. You see a person that goes to work for the Lord. A person that's welcomed among the people of God. In verse 26, there's another word. And the man bowed down his head. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You've prayed now, Lord, I want to be sure. I want to get the right one. I want to get the one you've got picked out for Isaac. I don't want to go home with the wrong woman. Can you imagine? You say all of that, and then you see it come to pass just like. Listen, Lord, don't let them just give me some water. Let them offer to get water for the camels too. And then it comes to pass. I'm going to tell you something right now. As much as God's done for us, you and I ought to be ready to worship too. The Word of God said here, he bowed down. Is that what it said? It said, he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. In other words, he's realizing God heard my prayer. God is providing for my master a bride. Hallelujah tonight. I believe sometimes we get way behind on worship. Just crying out to God, God, you're worthy. You're the one. Amen. You're the one. You're the one I met at the well. You're the one I work for. You're the one that welcomed me. And you're the one I'm going to worship. Look in verse 27. Beloved, listen, if there's any worshiping going on, it's because His mercies are new every morning. He's a merciful God. The Word of God said in verse number 27, and He said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left, who hath not left destitute my master of His mercy and His truth. And I want you to see this tonight. The servant said, I, being in the way. You know, I'd ask you a personal question tonight that only you can answer. You know the answer and God knows the answer. But are you walking in His way tonight? He has a way for every one of His children. Say amen. Now the only way you get into heaven, the only way you get saved, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But beloved, when a person gets saved, God has a will. God has a path. God has a way for that individual's life. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I could never know that for your life, and you can't know that for my life. But if you'll get before the throne of God, God will show you His way for your life. And tonight, you say, Pastor, are you walking in His way? Yes, I am. There's a couple of ways you can know that. Brother Ed touched on it this morning. You're back there, Brother Ed. I was looking over there. I thought you'd got a little uglier tonight, but that's Doyle. Amen. 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 Two brothers that I love dearly. Peace. You can't have peace if you're not walking in His way. When you get out of His way, beloved, the peace of God will go out the window. Amen. But if you're walking with Him and talking with Him, you can lay your head down in peace. You can get up in the morning in peace. And you can walk with God, I being in the way. But don't ever forget this. If you're in the way tonight, it's not just because you're somebody. It's because God had mercy. How many of you all are saved by the grace of God tonight and you're sure of it? And just as sure as you're saved, you know there's been steps along the way in your life when you were getting out of the way. Somebody help me tonight. You know what happened? In the mercy of God, we see a picture of that staff. God said, come here, son. Listen, He ain't after the devil's children to get in His path. But when His children get out of His path, He said, those I love, I chasten. I tell you, I've had people say to me, I've never been chastened. Boy, I don't know if I'd say that or not. Amen. I'm telling you, there's enough goes on between our ears to get us chastened. Chasing don't always mean that God gets His belt out. There's been a lot more times in my life when God wore me out with His goodness than with His belt. He made me ashamed of myself for where I'd allowed my heart to drift and where I'd allowed my mind to drift. So there's the way. Well, how many is that tonight? There's the well and the work and the welcome, the worship, the way. Turn over, if you will, please. This kind of goes with what I just said. But if you go on over here, let me just continue reading. The damsel ran in verse 28 and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, by the way, let me just say something to you that I had never caught before today. Look at verse 10 again. Go back to verse 10. And the servant took camels, 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Look at verse 10. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. Honey, them camels were loaded. You think about that. They were loaded. Amen. It wasn't any problem for Eliezer to give Rebekah some jewelry. I'm telling you, they were loaded. And you say, Pastor, what's that got to do with us? The Bible said, he that gave his own son, he's not going to withhold anything from us, amen, that we need tonight. I believe that, don't you? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans chapter number 8. I thank God for that. Watch this. It came to pass when he saw the earring, the bracelets upon his sister's hands, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Y'all wonder, Brother Steve, what he saw on all them camels. Amen. He knew he was blessed of the Lord. He said, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet. Here's where God spoke to my heart next. In this mercy, you see water to wash the feet. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, let me give you this. The Bible said over there, I believe it was John chapter 12. I might be wrong. But anyway, Jesus washed the feet. It might have been chapter 13. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, listen, if you're going to wash my feet, just wash me all over. And Jesus said this. He said, you have no need to be washed all over, but you have need that your feet be washed. I'm paraphrasing now. I know I'm not getting that exactly right, but that's what's being taught in the chapter. The truth is that's being taught is this. Even Abraham's servant, as he walked in this world, his feet got dirty. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus said this. He said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You say, Pastor, why in the world do we have to stay in the Bible? Why in the world do we have to be faithful to church? Why in the world do we need to stay prayed up? I'll tell you why. Because these old feet get dirty. We're in a world that's not dirty. We're in a world that's like Sodom and Gomorrah, filthy. Amen? And we're walking in it. And I thought it's the mercy of God that you and I, at those times in our life when we look down and we realize, beloved, listen, our feet are dirty. It's the mercy of God that God came and washed our feet. I believe tonight that this servant Eliezer, he realizes tonight that he's washed and he's welcomed. There's one more thing I'll give you tonight in closing. Look at verse 63 with me for just a moment. I'll start reading in verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well. It's a hard one for me to say. Lahairoi. That's as close as I can get. For he dwelt in the south country. In the margin of my Bible, that is the well of him that liveth and seeth me. That's where Isaac was dwelling. He was dwelling by a well as well. Watch this now. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. You reckon that Abraham had told Isaac, son, I've sent out a servant. I've sent Eliezer to seek out a bride for you. You reckon he did? I believe he did. He's meditating. Wonder what she's going to look like. Wonder what she's going to be like. And I'm going to tell you what she was for Isaac. She was the same thing Miss Eve is for me. She was perfect for me. Every man ought to look at his marriage like that. God gave me that woman. Amen. And she was perfect for me. She was exactly what I needed. Watch this now. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide. He lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I wonder tonight if our Savior doesn't realize the camels are coming. And the wife has made herself ready. That's the last thing in the message tonight. The wife. Look at it here. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, or she dismounted from the camel. And the Bible said, for she said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you're so excited. I'm telling you, God's painting us a picture here, honey. We're fixing to meet him. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that by the mercy of God, we're fixing to meet our wonderful bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that just as Isaac was anticipating meeting this woman, Rebecca, he didn't know her name at the time. He didn't know where she was going to be coming from. He didn't know how tall she would be, what color her hair would be. But he knew this. She's going to be the one that God has for me. Isn't it a blessing, beloved? When's the last time you thanked God for your wife? Amen. Listen, there's a lot of people in this world that are alone tonight. And we shouldn't wait until we're alone to thank God for that individual that God has given us in our marriage. Amen. Watch this tonight. Rebecca lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. And she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I believe she's a humble woman. I believe she's a modest woman. And the word of God said, the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And let me ask you this. That's one verse. But you know, he's retelling the story. He's already told it in the beginning. He's already told it at the house. Now he's telling it to Isaac again. Can you imagine what's going on in Isaac's heart as he hears this story one more time about this well and about this woman and all that work to take care of me and take care of these camels, about this welcome, how they welcomed me into the home, about this worship. I'm telling you about this way. Isaac is being told, amen, he's being told how that his feet had been washed, which was a custom in that day. But thank God tonight, the wife has made herself ready. In verse 67, Isaac brought her unto his master Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. I tell you tonight, our Savior loves us tonight. We don't always get it right, but he still loves us. Sometimes we get dirty, but he'll still wash us. Amen. The Word of God said here, he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The second time the word mercy is mentioned in the Word of God, it has to do with a wedding. Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.